This is the Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
Hey there, this is Spicy Demon, and I wanted to let you know that this episode of Tooncast Beyond features conversations of a very sexually explicit nature. We are reviewing Stan Lee's Stripperella. This is a podcast episode that is not safe for work and honestly not safe for anything. But listen to it in your own private space. We hope you enjoy the episode, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from me in the future. Mwah!
Thanks, Spicy, for that PSA in the beginning here. Hello and welcome to episode 69 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, Tia and Mike, and joining me is my spicy demon, Jennifer. Hello.
69.
That's right, in a row. It's not just 37 that gets to say that, you know.
37?
In a row.
Hey everyone, how you doing?
Pretty good. And joining us here on Tooncast Beyond, I don't know if he's... we do video game cartoons, folks, but I don't know if I don't remember... Oh yeah, you were on the ass episode, that's right. TV's Mr. Neil, and for those of you that don't know, the ass episode was in the beginning of Tooncast Beyond's lifespan, where we reviewed All-Star Superman.
Oh yeah.
It basically spells ass, people. Come on now.
And because... Evildoers are going to become evil dodgers.
You see, folks, now, because of life things and everything else happening on, Neil and I haven't recorded in a while with Pixels. I think the last time we did was we did Darkstalkers and we did the top 50 video game thing, and that's been a while. I think that was back in May of this year. And doesn't matter. We haven't been recording in 6 months, and we can still just flow right back into the same old comedy routine. But today, we're going to be getting very explicit, so if you don't want your kids to hear the podcast, obviously don't listen to it around them, and, you know, after all...
No, please, let us corrupt your children.
I was going to say, after all, the GCRN ain't Target, you know, so... Tonight, we're going to drop a sexy bombshell on you fine listeners. That's right, we're talking about Stan Lee's Stripperella that aired on Spike TV, because this cartoon only had one season, so we'll be talking about the whole series in one go. Get those dollar bills ready, y'all. But first, we have a little bit of a format change here, and I kind of like this. I think this is cool. I think I'm going to have Neil on more often, because it's time for Neil's notes. What do you got for your notes on Stripperella?
Sleep well, Stripperella?
No, of course not. Why do you hate models so much?
Why? Because my whole life, beautiful girls have spurned my advances. I vowed that one day I would make them all pay.
So just because...
Also, my mother was a model. She ran off when I was 5. I declared then and there that I would make all models pay.
Well, but even if you could...
Also, I once had a promising career as a model. I had a scholarship to go to modeling college and everything. But then I became horribly disfigured in a modeling accident. They said I would never model again, and I vowed to make them all pay. Oh, yeah, also my grandparents were killed by models.
I'll admit, you definitely have some valid reasons for not liking models.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll try to be brief with this. Basically, if you remember before the year 2000, there was a channel called TNN called the Nashville Network. And mm-hmm. It was bought out by MTV Networks and became the National Network, or the new TNN. And they brought in a bunch of shows like reruns of Star Trek. And the big coup was WWF Monday Night Raw. And that will come up later in this podcast, by the way. That has something to do with this show.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the famous simulcast between Raw and Nitro happened on TNN. And then around 2003, TNN decided to expand bigger, and they became Spike TV, and they added a bunch of new shows, including an all animation block on, God, I think it was like Saturday or Sunday night. It was like primetime Raw, not WWF Raw. I mean, like, just, you know.
Folks, it's basically Adult Swim, but yeah, for Spike TV.
Yeah, I don't remember when Adult Swim came out. I think it might have been after Adult Swim, but
came out in like 2001 or something.
Yeah, so this was after. They were basically copying Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. And they had three cartoons. It was The Return of Ren and Stimpy, the adult party cartoon, Gary the Rat, which was kind of a crappy Macromedia Flash cartoon. I think it actually was like a Flash cartoon on the internet at some point. It was like Low Rent Homestar Runner. And then the standout, amazingly enough, I never thought this show would actually be good, was Stripperella. Which is, I think it's genuinely funny. Now, granted, it went through a couple hard times. Like, it went months without any new episodes, and then all of a sudden, like right in the middle of the season, it shifted animation quality. It shifted from Japan to Korea, and you can kind of see it. Like, the designs changed and the animation's a little different, but it's still really good. And by the way, I love that the DVD box set has the courage to call it season one.
Nice.
It's like, I think it was like long dead by then, and
yeah,
it's like I don't think the Clerks animated series even had the courage to do that. By the way, like Clerks and Stripperella are my two top picks for like shows that should never have been canceled.
Well, oh yeah, well for me, Clerks definitely. I'm super into that.
Yeah, and obviously, for those that don't know, that may have never seen Stripperella, it's essentially what it says. It's about a stripper by day, a spy by night. That's really all you need to know. That's really all you need to know. And it's Pam Anderson as Stripperella. And so Jen and go ahead.
She's not a great voiceover artist. But her bad acting is kind of like a strength in the show because it comes off as campy.
Yeah.
And the show itself is just like one big joke, yep. Really.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's one big sex joke, the whole thing. And Jen and I watched this together through the magic of Skype and internet and all that stuff and everything else. And it took us a while to get through, not because of the show quality, but just because of circumstances or whatever else. It took us a while to get to be able to do the podcast here because we had to go back and almost rewatch the entire series again so we could remember what the hell happened. And yeah, you're right. I always notice animation changes, whether it's different styles or whether it's, you know, if Optimus Prime turns blue or if Megatron's gun turns red or what, you know, it doesn't matter. I always will notice animation changes. And it took me a few minutes. It took me couple episodes of the new animation style to actually enjoy it a little bit more than the first style.
Huh? Well, they jumped from they jumped from Mook Animation, which was the studio that did SWAT Cats, I think, mm-hmm. to this other studio. I forget their name, but they did the Land Before Time sequels. Oh. And I can kind of tell. But they actually did kind of okay on this show. This is probably the best work.
It didn't take long for it to grow on me, and I kind of like the softer, brighter colors of the new style.
Yeah. All right, so going around the room, first impressions. Neil, let's start with you. When you first saw this and then when you rewatched it, what were your first impressions of Stripperella?
My first impression was basically what I said earlier, which is like, there's no way this could be good. This is so stupid. Oh, my God, I'm laughing at this. And I own the DVD, and I just powered through it. Like you guys, I had to watch it again because it was like many months ago that we planned this and like kept putting it off. So I'm like, darn it, I got to watch it again. And it just flew by. I was almost sad that it was over. I'm like, especially the last episode kind of ends on kind of a cliffhanger. Maybe the show will return. No. It's kind of sad that it.
That it's, what about you, Jen? What was your. Because. Had you seen this before we watched it?
No, I'd never heard of it until you showed it. As a woman, I should be greatly offended by this show, but it's just so damn stupid. It's hilarious. So, I mean, I did enjoy it. I really enjoyed the animation, especially with the first style that they went with. I don't know. I think the jokes were... Like I said, the show is just one big joke. So, I mean, it was clever and kind of not, it's kind of hard to explain, like, but it was clever, but in a way that I don't know. It just, whatever it did it right.
Hi, I'm Muffy, just an ordinary cheerleader.
I am Hans Klinkle, just owner of Klinkles. How can I help you? Muffy.
Do you carry white 8.5 by 11 three-hole punch two-sided paper?
Yes.
I thought so. Crazy about that stereotypically white-bred family man robbing that bank, huh? He made copies here, didn't he?
Are you here to make copies or to ask suspicious questions in a tone that implies that I might have done something evil and mischievous?
Oh, I'm here to make copies.
What are you copying?
This?
You want to copy a pen?
Yes. You never know when you'll need an extra pen.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
For me, I had known about it. I had remembered it, but it had been a long time since I had seen it. So going back and us watching it together, it was like, wow, they really are going all out. And that's kind of the point here, because it's a 13 episode cartoon, folks, about sex and spies and all that stuff. And she works at a strip joint. That's the whole reason why her name is Stripperella. And you know, they have the Agent 69 gag and all that stuff. Yeah, you're right, Neil. Pam Anderson can't act her way out of a paper bag. I mean, unless she's in a red, you know, bathing suit with a waterboard running on the beach. That's pretty much the extent of her acting.
That's the extent of, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the big time, boys. Starting tomorrow, the world's largest cubic zirconium imitation diamond is going to be on display at the world's largest items museum. It's valued at almost $300.
Awesome.
Here's how we're going to do it. You two henchmen are going to stand guard in front of the north, south, east, and west entrances. At the same time, you must overtake the security guards, disengage the alarm system, and disable the security cameras. Now there's only one thing that can get in our way.
Logic?
No. Stripperella. I want Stripperella dead. Put the word out on the street that whomever kills Stripperella, I, Cheapo, will pay a bounty of $8.
But the going rate for a hit is more in the range of $50,000.
What? That's exorbitant. We'll just have to do it ourselves.
The interesting thing about this show is, in the beginning of this episode, you guys would have heard her then boyfriend, husband, whatever the hell he was supposed to be, Kid Rock, did the theme song for this show. and the sad thing is, I kind of like the one they replaced him with a little bit better.
Yeah, well, that second one that's on the DVD was actually the end credits song for the aired version. And the funny thing about that is that they always had like the coming up next. You know, they always had that on, and you never heard that song ever. So yeah. When I finally got the DVD, I finally got to hear what that song was. Because you hear like the last couple seconds of it and then it's over. It's like, God. And I hear it once. So that was like one of the treats of getting the DVD is finally hearing that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with the voice cast for this show, outside of Pamela Anderson, they had some pretty good voice actors on their team here.
It was like Kenny and...
Tom Kenny, Maurice LaMarche, John Cryer, of all people, did a couple of roles.
Rob Paulson.
Really?
I didn't notice Rob. Well, yeah,
Rob's all over the place.
Well, I recognize Rob anywhere, but... and who else? Jeff Bennett, I think, was in it.
Yep. And of course, they have to give Kid Rock a role as Stiffy Woods. Maurice LaMarche is the one that's all over this series, not Rob. Ooh. I don't see Rob anywhere in this list.
I heard Rob a lot. I know he's not in it as much as Maurice. Maurice is in every episode because he's a major character.
Yeah.
And he's also Cheapo.
Yeah, he's Cheapo. Which, you know, at first, when I first heard Cheapo, I really thought it was John Lovitz.
So did a lot of people. I was like, is that John?
Yeah.
I did get the John Lovitz. I definitely got that.
Mm-hmm. And by far, I think for me, the biggest surprise with the voice cast is one of the recurring guest roles.
You're fired.
Okay, not that one. We'll talk about that one in a minute. Dr. Cesarian, I was like, hey, what the hell is the Joker doing here?
Oh, yes.
I'm like, what did Luke Skywalker need a paycheck that week or something?
That guy has a great sense of humor. I would be surprised if he wasn't in this show.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole time, because you're going to hear various clips throughout this podcast, folks, that Neil sent me. The one clip he sent me that actually has, it's part of Mark's scene. All as I can think of is, holy crap, it's the Joker talking to Stripperella. That's all I can think of.
And I remember that's exactly what we were saying when we were watching. Like, oh my God, is that the Joker?
Yep.
Are we watching Stripperella or Batman? We're watching, what's the name of that episode? Mad Love.
Mad Love. Yeah.
That's
true. All we need is Harley. But, you know, like we said, we got, you know, Maurice LaMarche, you got Tom Kenny's also all over this. I mean, he was Special Agent 14 in a bunch of other roles. Joey Lauren Adams was Cat. Just so many really great voice actors throughout this series, and it's just so funny to hear, especially, you know, okay, I know Maurice LaMarche can be how do I want to say this without hopefully not offending him? He can have a raunchy sense of humor, which is fine, but most of the stuff he does in his acting career is not stuff like this. So seeing him as the chief and all this stuff and just thinking like, oh my God, thank God Inspector Gadget's not here to see this.
Oh, jeez.
Neil, did you have a favorite voice role or character from the series? Besides
Chief Stroganoff. He was just foul in every single episode.
Yeah.
The way they always introduce him, he's always doing something that's really disgusting, and then Stripperella sets him straight. He's like, oh, thank goodness I'm not a transvestite or whatever the hell he's doing. Or he's like drinking a laxative for some reason.
You know, at first, without the ending of, is it the end? You know, at episode 13, if it didn't have that on the end there of will it end or is it the end or not the end, I would have almost said flip The Curse of the Werebeaver and Return of the Queen, because Return of the Queen felt like a more...
Like it should have been the last episode.
Yeah.
Finale, definitely.
Well, there's a lot of that in this. No, because it does seem like they're out of order.
Mm. Well, I almost thought at one point they were going to make Return of the Queen like a two-parter.
Mm.
You know, but
which actually would have been nice, I think. I mean, don't you think that they could have made it a two-parter? I mean, it seems like there's more they could have done with that episode.
That could be. I don't even know with some of these episodes. I mean, it's just as we were watching it, you know, we would snicker or laugh at various jokes that they would make, and there are just some jokes that are just there's going far and there's going way too far. I mean, they really pushed the envelope on this. And the other thing that surprises me is that a guy who has been known for, you know, comics his entire adult life has his name on. Like, how did that happen? That's what I've heard Stan Lee's story of how he got into comics. I've heard all that. I want to hear how the hell he got his name on Stripperella.
Well, haven't you heard the story?
Despite him that nobody knows, I guess.
I guess so. He was
at a strip joint. He was getting a lap dance. And would you care to guess the persona of the her name, the lady who gave him the lap dance? I'll give you one guess.
Stripperella.
Yes, and she sued him.
What? Wait, this really happened?
Yeah, this really happened. He got a lap dance from someone named Stripperella, and he was like, I'm going to make a show, Excelsior. And then she sued him for the name. And
oh, man.
And that's one of the reasons why there was never a season two. Allegedly. I mean, who knows if they would even have renewed it anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to think of this as, and I've said this before on this podcast and other podcasts, there are certain things that one and done is fine, because it's just one of those things where you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you can tease up the end all you want, saying, oh, there's going to be more, oh, this and all that. And then sometimes there just shouldn't be, you know.
No, they never know what's going to happen after season one. I mean, they can be dropped, or they could be renewed. I mean,
that's very true. Do we have Neil? Do you have a favorite episode out of the 13?
Oh God, I don't have the episode names in front of me, but I like the one where it was Small Fry was the girl. That was hilarious. You know, I'm going to have to pull up the episode list really quick.
Hello, guys. Boobies are jiggling. Boobies? Anyone?
Did you ever notice how you never see Erotica and Stripperella in the same place?
What an odd and completely random thing to say. I mean, a lot of people have never been in the same place as Stripperella. We haven't.
It was just an observation. Excuse me for living.
That was the, Small Fry. Oh man, we just saw it the other night too.
Looks like a munchkin.
Evil things come in small packages. Yeah.
Yes. Episode 8. Evil because he was like, come... he kept interpreting what everyone would say to him as like a small joke. Or, like, are you making?
Yeah.
Are you making fun of my size?
Yeah. It was a small joke or a tall joke.
Joke.
The Wrath of Klinko was funny just because of how over the top that was. The guy running a clone of it was Kinko's. Mm-hmm. God, it was so long ago. He's running Kinko's, and he's just, it's almost like harder than taking over the world. He's just like, I can't believe how difficult this is running this store, and I'm trying to take over the world. And that just had like nonstop jokes, like the one scene where Stripperella is slamming this guy's face into like the copy machine. And the lady from earlier in the episode comes back and she's like, I'll take it from here. And then she starts slamming his head.
I have to say, I like the one where Giselle thinks she gave the old guy a heart attack.
Yeah.
It's just, I could not stop cracking up at that.
And then what's the other stripper's name? It's Kat. Poor Kat, the episode with her constantly, you know, having the bowling ball gag done on her with her memory. Oh my god.
Oh,
Who's that one? Who's the one that they keep changing her accent every episode?
Oh, what is her name?
But what Persephone? Was the deal with that?
Yeah, Persephone. Yeah.
What was the deal with that? I can't figure it. Was it, did they do that like on purpose as a show or?
Well, again, between the split in the first six episodes, I think it was a mistake because in some episodes she sounds like an American, and in some episodes she has kind of a French accent. So in the second half of the season, they just went nuts with it. Like she'd be Scottish in one episode.
Irish or she had some kind of, yeah. Or didn't she have like some kind of Peruvian accent at one point? Like...
Yeah, I think so. So I think it was a mistake that turned into a running gag.
Yeah. It would have to be.
They did call it out in one episode. It was like, I don't remember you having a Scottish accent.
She's yeah.
Like,
I remember that. And I love the bartender, the gay bartender.
Yep.
He just, you know, there were a little, it's a strip club, but there were like these little touches that kind of made it like, gave it some heart, you know, like, you know, you have the bartender, you have the guy that owns the place that's always like, you know, don't sue us, you know, and it's just, yeah.
It's a good toast.
And all the girls just treated each other like sisters for the most part. I mean, just, it had a nice little togetherness to it, you know, so I don't know. I really enjoyed that.
Stripperella. Would you like something to drink? This stuff is great.
Sir, that's not really a beverage per se. It's a laxative.
Right. Thank God I'm wearing a diaper. Let's get down to business. Stripperella, I want you to go after Queen Clitoris. Special Agent 14 is on the computer right now trying to track her down.
Hi, Stripperella. I'm having a hard time finding Clitoris. She's very elusive.
You know, some men think that Clitoris doesn't even exist.
Well, what do we know about her?
We know that Clitoris is extremely sensitive. That's why it's crucial that Clitoris is not rubbed the wrong way.
Yep, absolutely. And the one thing about this is that there was an episode where Erotica tries to... They do this whole thing of dating at work, and it's like, oh... And it's just so funny. And they do that, and then the whole time that the guy, I think his name is Kevin, that's the manager's name. I forget what the hunky guy's name is off the top of my head. You know, he's asking her about, oh, do you like things? You know, do you think it's okay to date people that you work with and blah, blah, blah. Come to find out by the end of the episode, it was Persephone that he wanted to know all this about, but he was asking Erotica.
Poor Erotica. I feel bad for her at the end of that episode.
The best one like that is the one where she actually had a boyfriend, and she was...
And he's like, perfect.
Yeah, and she doesn't know if... he would actually kind of looks down on strippers, and she didn't know if she wanted to tell him his job or her job. And then like at the end of the episode, he turns out to be like a really terrible singer.
Yeah.
And she just walks right up to him and says, I'm a stripper.
Yeah. we can't date. Yeah. I would absolutely love, I'm very, very not sad, but I am very disturbed. I guess you could say that this never happened. This would have been great as a follow-up comic book, and it's sad that the comic never happened.
Pam Anderson might have had something to do with that, but creative difference of some sort.
Yeah, it's...
But they've had to pay some kind of royalty for using her image or something.
Something like that. And they actually made her look more like Pam Anderson in the second half of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Such a drastic change in the character design.
Yeah. What else do we want to say about Stripperella?
Vince McMahon. He's in this for some reason.
Oh, that's right, Vince McMahon. He wasn't, and you commented that. You commented. Do you remember?
Yeah, he was Dirk McMahon.
One of the few WWE names I'm familiar with.
And he wanted to either acquire the Thunder, what's the name of
tenderloins?
Tenderloins. He either wanted to acquire them or put them out of business, which is just like him in real life.
Mm-hmm.
I fought my competition. I own WCW.
You know what this cartoon really needed? And it's kind of apropos that we're recording this and releasing it on and after election night. This needed a Dirk McMahon versus a Donald Trump character.
Oh,
that's what this needed.
Yes. Oh my god. That would be brilliant.
That would have been so awesome. That just would have been so great. You know, Neil mentioned in the beginning about some of the other shows that kind of how this show stacks up to some of the others. And as Neil said in the beginning, Stripperella essentially is the diamond in the rough. You know, I've made it very clear on Tooncast Classic, if anyone's listened to that, you know, that show that I'd done for about 2 years on the GCR and got to 100 episodes, and I've mentioned it here on Tooncast Beyond. It's very rare. And it's something I will never... I've said this before. Jen can pretty much get me to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Except there's probably one thing she'll never get me to do. No one could ever get me to do this, but I'm going to be doing it at least once. I will never watch Ren and Stimpy. I tried years ago.
I've seen the really raunchy episodes.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I tried a few years ago. I tried when Tooncast Classic first started back in 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. And I just could not. It's not because of the comedy. It's not because of the voice. It's because of the animation. I just can't get past it. But coming up after this episode and after episode 70, we're going to be doing the 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas here in 2016. And I think day 8 or day 9 is a scooter for Yaxmas, so I'll be having to watch at least one episode of Ren and Stimpy. But I don't know. So you have
just, an just for the holidays,
yeah.
For the holidays, it should be Son of Stimpy or Stimpy's First Fart.
Oh,
because that is the Christmas one.
I thought a scooter for Yaxmas was the Christmas one.
Well, there's more than one Christmas one, but that's. Oh. I think that's the most beloved of them all is Stimpy's First Fart. But, you know, I'd like to talk on this for just for a minute because, you know, there's actually like three eras of Ren and Stimpy. There's like the original Spumco era, which is like the one that everyone loves. Mm-hmm. And then there's like three seasons of just, I don't know if I can call it shit, but it's like really disappointing Ren and Stimpy. It's kind of, it's like when it slid downhill.
Yeah,
it wasn't John Kay doing it; it was someone else. And then John Kay returned, and that's how we got the Adult Party cartoon. And that was so disappointing. I was actually really disappointed in the Adult Party cartoon because it was very rare that it actually aired on time. Because John Kay would be like, "Oh, we'll blow the deadline just so we can have good animation." And then, like, you know, they would run a rerun of the classic show, and it's like, "Well, where's this new Adult Party cartoon?" And then, like, they launched on the worst episode, which was, God, I can't remember. It was, like, Onward and Upward. That's what it was called. And it's, like, the grossest Ren and Stimpy cartoon I have ever seen. It was so bad. I cannot watch that cartoon.
Which one was that?
That's the one where it was just, like, just gross jokes throughout. It opens with them sleeping in a bum's mouth. And it's
that one.
Oop jokes and spit jokes, and
that's just Ren and Stimpy in general to me.
Yeah, but it was like cranked up to 11.
Oh man, I've never seen that one. I guess I'm glad I didn't.
It's like half of them are kind of bad, and then the other half are actually really good. Like, there's one called The Altruist, which was their take on the Three Stooges. I think it's the longest Ren and Stimpy ever made. It's like 45 minutes, and it's like all Three Stooges jokes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Worth tracking down the DVD, I think. Just be prepared for bad episodes.
Oh, God. There's one that really stands out in my mind where Stimpy's pregnant.
Yeah.
And he's not really pregnant, but they kind of have that at the end. They reveal that, and it's just one of the dumbest episodes.
Oh, God. That was gross.
Yeah.
I would have rather have had a second season of Stripperella than watch most of Ren and Stimpy. Oh, crap. All right. So we're going to give this a rating. For those that don't know, GCRN Universal Rating Scale is 0 to 5 stars. Neil, what do you rate Stripperella the series?
I'll give it a 4. It's really good. There are a couple lame episodes, and it's not for everyone, but I can't help but give it a high score just because I love it so much.
What about you, Jen?
I'm gonna go with a 3. It's not like Neil said, it's not a bad show, but I mean there are just some parts that just kind of make me cringe. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm also gonna go with a 4. I wasn't sure if I was gonna like it or not at all, and turns out I really did enjoy watching it. I don't think I could watch it again for a few years, but it was you know, an enjoyable lap dance after a while. Mm. So we're
it does,
gonna
it does grow on you. It does. I will say that.
That just. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know where to take that one. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back to close the show. Final thoughts and everything else. We'll be back after this.
Bow chicka wow wow.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
We are back here on Tooncast Beyond, episode 69, and it is so funny because I didn't even think back in the Tooncast Classic days to do Stripperella for Tooncast Classic, episode 69. I believe who was on that episode with me? I don't even remember at this point. But Tooncast Classic, episode 69, was Johnny Bravo, because that was the closest thing to a sex joke I could think of. For some odd reason, I don't know why. So, we are on our way to episode 70. And after that, as I said before, we've got the 25 days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas that we're going to be doing this year, finally. I've had that planned, folks, for about 3 years now. I went on Wikipedia and I just searched Christmas cartoons in the United States, and I came up with 50 cartoons between 2 years. So you're getting 2 years of 25 Days of Christmas, 2016 and 2017. And those will be our ultimate Christmas cartoon episode things, because we did a holiday show back in Tooncast Classic Days. We did episode 30 where we talked about the Grinch, not Jim Carrey, the real one.
Classic.
We talked about the Grinch. We talked about Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, Rudolph, Frosty, and a couple other things. I think there were 6 total cartoons in there. Oh, Charlie Brown and something else. I forget what the other thing was. I figure Tooncast Beyond, 25 Days, Tooncast Beyond Christmas, where I think we're starting with The Year Without a Santa Claus, and I don't know where we're going after that. But for now, we've got to close this show out. So thank you for joining us here on Tooncast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @ToonCastBeyond is the show Twitter. You can follow @GeekCastRadio for all the other network updates. I am @TFG and Mike. Neil, what is your Twitter?
P. Lynn Bailey.
Don't pee on Lynn Bailey. That's just wrong.
Hey,
yeah, I know. And Jen, what's yours?
A Spiced Demon.
All right. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out TV's Mr. Neil over there on Facebook. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be deadening the pain of, you know, Stripperella with a little Anastasia. Obscure joke. Talk to your parents, folks. Yeah, Jen and I are going to be back next episode, in episode 70, talking about Anastasia, where, you know, you got John Cusack and Doc Brown and Bartok the Bat and all that stuff. So, yeah, good old Anastasia. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
TV's Mr. Neil
and Spicy Demon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
One purse unsnatched.
Oh, well, thank you. How can I ever repay you?
Do you have a carrot?